My name's Phil Topham. I'm Executive Director of FIC. It's a grand title, but it basically means that I help to manage the charity with others, look after some of the staff, help churches that want to think about FIC affiliation. If you're here and you're not from an FIC church, do come and talk to me. I'd love to chat to you about that. And with me is John Stevens. John's our National Director. John, what does that mean?
Well, it means for the last 13 years, it's been my privilege to lead the central staff team of FIEC in its service of kind of churches. So FIEC is a family of churches, 640 gospel churches across the UK. We're not a denomination, but our central staff team is there to serve and support those churches. And it's my privilege to be able to sort of lead that team.
Now, FIEC dates back to 1922. Yeah. We just had our centenary, as Adrian mentioned last night. A chap called Reverend Edward Joshua Poole Connor founded the fellowship. That's a good name, isn't it? He founded the fellowship in 1922. John, why did he do that? What was his vision for doing that? Why was it important?
His vision for doing that was he wanted to help independent churches. FIEC is committed to independent churches, but what we mean by that is kind of local self-governing churches. So we think that under God, each local church kind of governs itself. It appoints its own leaders. It decides on its own ministry. It kind of uses its own money. So we're not a controlling, organizing group. But of course, the danger of independency is that you can become isolated and that individual local churches are kind of are limited in what they're able to do. And Poole Connor recognized that. And I think he saw something very important biblically, which is that the Bible teaches that churches are self-governing congregations, but yet at the same time, they need to be in relationship and partnership with each other for mutual support and to enable the gospel to go out to more people. And that was basically the essential vision of FIEC from the beginning, was not to compromise the independency of churches, but to be a means by which they could be in relationship with each other, to be able to work together for mutual support, and therefore to be able to do more for the gospel. And that was the founding vision. Back in 1922, we were very small. Quite a lot of independent churches belonged to different associations, or there were denominations. But we've grown over the last 100 years to 640 churches. But basically, our vision is essentially the same. We want to support and encourage independent churches, help them to work together, and by doing that, to be able to reach the whole nation with the gospel.
So, John, there might be some in the room who are not convinced about independency. So they open their Bibles, they see the Council of Jerusalem. Adrian even referenced last night Paul's concern for all the churches. Is that not a reflection of some kind of denominational structure or oversight? How would you sort of help us think biblically about what independency looks like?
How long have you got? I
think Adrian said I've got as long as I want. So this can be a lecture, John, as far as I'm concerned.
I've got a seminar thinking about that this afternoon. I mean, it's certainly true that the apostolic period is a slightly different period in the life of the church, because you do have those first witnesses who plant churches and, because of their relationship with the Lord Jesus, have a measure of authority over them. But one of the things that's striking in the New Testament is that the apostolic era comes to an end and those first leaders do kind of die off, and there's no expectation that they be replaced by people who have a similar role. And I think you don't find in the New Testament, other than the apostles, people who have a kind of a formal control over individual local churches. So if you look at the Bible, the picture of the local church seems to be individual churches that are led by their own elders who have authority over their local congregations. Very often there's a sort of a high degree of congregational involvement. So it seems to me that actually the pattern of denominational structures which are centrally controlling, you really can't derive that from the Bible, or at least you've got to kind of take some bits in the Bible in which there are people working to support across churches, or alternatively kind of gatherings of church leaders, and make them into something far more than what the Bible actually describes. So it seems to me the biblical pattern is of local churches which are led by their elderships, and there isn't an authority structure above kind of them. If I can use an analogy, actually in coffee shops is a reasonably good analogy that helps us to understand independency. So in many ways, kind of a denomination is much more like a Costa or a Starbucks or a kind of a Cafe Nero. It's a centrally controlling corporate body. And all of the local expressions, although they're in different places, are basically fundamentally the same and are controlled by the kind of central body. Independency is much more like a whole load of independent, locally owned coffee shops. they all sell coffee, but they all do it in their own slightly different way, and they have the freedom to be able to do that. I mean, I think that's much closer to the biblical model of what church is meant to be kind of like. And FIEC in that sense is much more like a trade association of independent coffee shops that come together to kind of help each other in terms of what they kind of what they need, what they have in common, to be able to provide services that benefit them all. That's essentially what FIEC does. And what's really important about that is grasping. We don't control the mission of our local churches. The work of the gospel is done by the local churches. And that means that sometimes at FIEC centrally, people can expect more from us than we're actually able to do. And we're providing that support and that encouragement. But it's a fundamental commitment on our part that the work of the gospel is done in the local church, and we're there to support and help that rather than to drive it.
So it sounds to me like independent coffee shops are better. That's what you say.
No, they can be. The trade association is there to kind of help them to be better. Actually, I think there are advantages. The advantages of independency in that model is there is the freedom to be faithful, to do what you believe to be right under the word of God. Again, we can see in a number of denominations the central pressure to compromise the gospel that flows down on all of the churches. I think it also gives the freedom to be diverse, to be able to think through what each individual context requires. So independency gives that great flexibility to local churches to be contextualized to their specific situation and not simply to be replicating a common model of how church should be. And I think within FIEC, we long to kind of see that, because the great need in the nation, if we're going to reach all of the nation, is churches that are contextualized to the specific places that they're trying to reach. And that will involve a high degree of diversity.
You used the phrase, John, in the past, freedom to be faithful. Yeah. Just expand that for us a little bit in the context of independency.
Yeah, well, one of the convictions of the FIEC when it was started, and it came out of a background in the early 20th century when kind of liberalism was running rife through the churches and people were abandoning their conviction in biblical authority, the cross as the atoning sacrifice of Christ. Churches found themselves both culturally and in denominations under pressure to compromise the gospel, and it was more and more difficult to stand firm for biblical truth. And I think that's the context in which we find ourselves even more so today. So the freedom to be faithful is the freedom to stand firm for biblical truth and for the gospel in a way that is not compromised by association or by powers and pressures that are seeking to persuade churches to change. So at one level, it's the freedom to be able to stand firm for what the Bible sort of says. Now, within FIEC, we are united by core gospel convictions that we stand together on. And one of the visions for FIEC was to help churches to be mutually accountable to maintain those core gospel convictions. So, for example, within FIEC, every church, every year, has to re-sign their commitment to our doctrinal basis. So we hope that helps keep churches gospel faithful. And if they can no longer sign, they can no longer belong to FIEC. There's a sort of a regular mutual accountability in that regard. At the same time, within those parameters, every church has the freedom to be able to work out what it thinks the Bible means for the life of the local church. So churches are free within FIEC to be Baptist churches or Pedobaptist churches. They're free to take different views on the way that the Holy Spirit works in the church today. They have a flexibility about the way that they do ministry, the way that they hold their services. So there's a whole variety of issues in which within FIEC there is freedom for every local church to work out under God what it believes the Bible is teaching and then to be able to put that into practice.
And it's easier for an independent church to pivot, I guess, isn't it? So if you're thinking areas of church planting, ministries to adopt, there's no asking for permission of a denomination.
There's certainly a kind of flexibility in ministry. Again, the risks of the freedom to pivot is that you might say, well, that means that people can drift away from the gospel. Yes, that's why we have that mutual accountability. But the ability to be able to start new things, do new things. We don't see the nation as divided up into parishes that somebody already has ownership of, and therefore you're restricted limited in terms of what you can do. Individual local churches have the right to be able to establish themselves where they want. Now, obviously, that requires immense sensitivity towards others and working with them, but there is a fundamental freedom to be able to do what you believe God is calling you to do as a local church without some central body that needs to give you approval or that can restrain you or prevent you from doing that.
And there's a whole variety of different styles and size of church across FIEC, isn't there, John?
A massive variety of kind of contexts and situations. Our largest church is probably something close to 1,000 or so. The majority of our churches would be between 80 and 150. Some would be significantly smaller than that. There are churches in city centres, in suburbs, in market towns, in a kind of estates. And I think that as the nation gradually changes in its diversity, so that the spectrum of churches is gradually changing in its diversity on the ground. The diversity of FIEC as a whole is kind of made up by the diversity of its local churches. But yes, there is a kind of there's a spectrum of diversity. There's a centre of gravity. Historically, we've probably come out of predominantly kind of middle-class suburban churches. That's the history from the 1950s and the 1960s. That's still reflected in the kind of weight of where most FIEC churches are. But that is gradually beginning to change as gospel ministry spreads out into a wide variety of other places, which we rejoice over.
John, you've touched on a couple of them, but what are some of the challenges of independency and then flowing into that, challenges for FIEC?
Okay, that's another big question. And the challenge for independency is that very problem of isolation. It's the problem of kind of being on your own, not necessarily having access to particularly central financial resources, which will kind of underwrite the costs of ministry. So as independent churches and as leaders of independent churches, you're running your own organisation and you're responsible for funding it and providing the resourcing there. That can lead within independency to a degree of selfishness, that churches that are doing well, that are growing, just keep investing in themselves and getting bigger and bigger, and they don't see themselves as having an automatic responsibility towards those churches that are sort of in need in other places where they can't be quite self-funding in the same way. So I think that sort of isolationism coupled with kind of self-focus are the two dangers of independency. And in many ways, FIEC was set up exactly to try to ameliorate that by building relationships and giving a more collective vision that would sort of work together. I think there's still a sense in our culture that to be an independent church seems a little bit odd, perhaps culturally. People aren't necessarily familiar with independency. They're used to denominational structures. So people can have instinctive kind of ideas that an independent church must be some sort of kind of slightly weird cult group. I think that's gradually changing as the church context changes. But again, it's helpful to be able to say we're part of a much wider network of churches that are the same. And again, that makes it slightly easier to explain that this is not just one odd individual church that is completely disconnected from everybody else. So I think those are some specific challenges for a kind of independency. In terms of raising up leaders, again, it's a challenge because in order to raise up leaders, churches need to raise up people and give them away. And unless they've got a bigger vision for the kingdom of God, they'll tend to want to keep everything for themselves and just think about their own local ministry. So it's having that just bigger vision for the work of the kingdom, not just of the individual local church.
Just on your point about the weirdness, interestingly, the other group that are using this hotel this weekend, they are independent as well, but they're a worldwide black majority church. Yeah. So they've got all folk from all over the world who've gathered here from black majority churches, non-denominational, all independent.
And it's worth saying, FIEC, there are lots of independent churches that are not FIEC. Independency is way bigger than FIEC. So other kinds of churches, there are some churches that belong to different associations, there are some churches that don't belong to any association at all. So independency is way bigger than FIEC as a model of how to do church. We just happen to be an organisation that churches can belong to provide help and support.
So, John, you've got a seminar this afternoon about independency. So if you want to find out more, that's the seminar to go to. John, thanks so much for telling us a bit more about FIEC and about independency.